I've been asked to share a little bit of thoughts on the subject of government. Obviously, it's an important issue, and it's actually everybody here is part of the new structure of government. And having spoken to various people from various benches, I was asked to share some thoughts on government and government structure. And so tonight is about, hopefully only about 10 or 15 minutes, just to give you a quick overview and some thoughts and some things to take away to process around government, how it functions in general, but also how it functions in relation to the church and the church government that we're putting together. So, context. As you all know, we are establishing a new style of church government, and I don't think anybody has been where we are going right now. So there are challenges attached to that, but the concept is patterned after heaven. So God has given us some direction of what he wants us to do and what it should look like. But we are being called to administer and to legislate, two things that traditional leaderships of churches haven't really had to think about that much. But we also have to take responsibility and be accountable. That's to each other and, of course, to God. So, we have to operate from heaven to earth. There's no good just doing the heavenly stuff and forgetting the earthly. And there's no point in operating the heavenly stuff if it doesn't bear fruit and actually impact and change the way things operate on the earth. We're being called to rule as sons and kings. So that does require that we operate in government. But do we understand how to be governmental? Thank you, Jeremy, for your honesty. So, government in general isn't always well appreciated and has a bit of a bad name. Winston Churchill said the best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter. And he didn't even take part in the EU referendum. Ronald Reagan said, the most terrifying words in the English language are, I am from the government and I am here to help. Ringo Starr was even more direct. Everything government touches turns to crap. Or does it? It took a German to say it very well. The best government is that which teaches us to govern ourselves. And Theodore Roosevelt very succinctly summed it up. The government is us, we are the government, you and I. And that actually directly applies to what we're doing as a government for church. So, what do we need to know? Well, firstly, we've got to understand what government is in order to be governmental and to operate government. So we need to understand some things about its purpose, its structure, and its operation. What we're called to do collectively, and also our part in it individually. So far, so good. So what does God say about government? We've heard what Winston Churchill and Ringo Starr think of it. But Romans 13 says every ruling authority that exists has been established by God. So human government is a derived authority. It's mandated by God. And we know that because God's given us a mandate for the church and for the government that we've got here. In Romans again, it says those in authority are described as the servants of God and ministers of God. So do you consider yourselves to be both of those things? Essentially, there are two key principles behind godly government. That government is for the good of all people, so it should be a blessing and never a curse. I can't say that's always true of every government in operation. And government, in a godly way, is meant to reflect his glory. But what is the purpose of government when we look at it from our perspective? First thing we said is it's about ruling. And ruling, of course, is being in control, being in charge. So we've got to get used to the idea that as we establish government, we have to be in control and be in charge. It's about providing direction, leadership. So if you're in government, you are by definition a leader. It's about legislation, It's about making those laws that we need to govern society. Now, whatever society that is we're responsible for, whether it's just this church, whether it's an area, whether it becomes a wider area. Administration. Governments administer. They absolutely have to manage the operations of state. They have to make things happen. They have to keep things functioning so that the population is looked after. They order things. So how things are arranged in relation to each other. God's not a God of chaos, so God also wants order, and the structures that he's shown us, they are to bring order into circumstances and situations. And they're also there for enforcement. So do we consider that our government has an element of enforcement? To make sure any laws that are revealed to us, or any laws that are made, are actually obeyed or acted upon. National governments have a defence. They have to protect their citizenry. Do we have a defensive role as well? I think in some regards we do. And this is the trickiest one for most governments, accountability. You've got to be responsible for your actions. So how do they work? Well, we've established that God gives a mandate, and all governments have a mandate. And where that mandate comes from varies, but it establishes sovereignty. That sovereignty gives authority to the government. And that authority has certain extents and bounds to powers that the government will operate in. The government will have a jurisdiction. The sovereignty extends to a territory, a country, a people, or a thing. So you have to be aware of the jurisdiction that goes with the government that you're operating. It has powers. Earthly governments have the power of taxation, defence, legislation. Does godly government have those things? Probably two out of the three. It works within a framework, usually a constitution. That gives the structure of the government, how it will be put together, how it will operate, what its departments are. It gives it the procedures for exercising its powers and its authority, and its duties towards its citizenry. So it says what it has to do in relation to the people it is governing. It operates to a manifesto, if it's an earthly government. A plan. We've got a blueprint. So whatever government is in operation has to have a plan. We agree that we've got a plan? Are we all fully cognizant of the plan and what it all means? That's three of you then. It also has functions and administrations. To do all that, what I've called practical stuff. Now we've got practical stuff. What sort of practical stuff do we do as an outworking of our government, as an outworking of our organisation? Day centre. Yeah. What else do we do? Not a lot, obviously. We run a church. We have an ecclesia. We work in the community. We have housing. Yeah, so we have practical stuff that we do that are the functions and administrations of the existing structure. But also on our blueprint, there are other things that we should be doing. There's lots of media stuff. There's health and healing stuff. There's an exchange kind of thing that needs to go on. Yeah, there are things that we aren't doing that we need to do, which is the practical stuff, which are the functions and administrations of our government. Yes? Cool. Let's look at the UK government. How's that formed? Who knows much about the citizenship course for primary school? No. That's what it's taken from. Key stage two. So we have a monarch, Queenie. Largely a figurehead, but she technically bestows the mandate and the authority on Parliament to establish a government. So we have a UK government formed from 650 MPs in Parliament, and the party with the most MPs forms the actual governing body, the government itself. 650 of them. That's a big bar bill, isn't it? So government is actually run by the Prime Minister and the Cabinet Office. And there are 21 different ministries within the Cabinet Office. And those ministries are limited by law, so they can't keep creating more. which is the want of government, so it's enshrined in statute and in the constitution that you can't have any more than 21. All of those 21 are administered through the civil service, which is the governmental functions, and there are 90 departments. 90! All of which paid for your tax pound. 90 government functions, so roughly 4 and a bit to each one. Mountains and submountains. And then there are 433 local authorities, all of whom have to work within their particular jurisdiction, mandate and remit to deliver whatever the top line manifesto was of the government of the day. There. How does that work? How does any government work? Well, it's obviously too big to be done in one piece, so that's why there are specialist departments. So that's why we've got kind of specialist departments. Yeah. So there's a defined role and function. So how they operate within the whole. So in the cabinet, there are in those 21 ministries, for example, there's defence, education, health, justice, business, innovation, treasury, and lots and lots and lots of others. Yeah. Some of which you'll probably name, some of which you probably can't name. Each one has its authority over its own area. So health looks after health, justice looks after justice, business does business, treasury does money. Okay. And they all use the resources that are allocated to them, in this case, by the treasury. But each one is delivering part of the overall manifesto. So, for example, if they say they want to turn all schools into academies, that's for the education department to sort that out, funded by the treasury, who says you've got this much budget to do it. That does not mean that health can go in and change it and say, no, we don't want it to look like that. It means education has to do it. So why is that relevant to us? Well, as we're forming a new government, we need to understand the governmental principles, but we also need to understand that all mountains and their benches are a part of our overall government. They're not in isolation. They are part of the bigger picture. So, in order for that to be in context, we need to understand the blueprint and the role of our mountain, and then as individuals, we need to understand our role on the bench within that mountain. Yes? All for one. Romans 12, again. But just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So mountains need to cooperate and do their part, which facilitates others to do their part. Yeah? It's all interdependent. But, remember, it all checks and balances back to the blueprint. So every department in the government works back to the manifesto, whatever the pledges and promises the government made. So, our church government. We have a mandate. Our mandate is to equip and release the Joshua generation. And it's also to establish cities of refuge or embassies of heaven, depending which country and which terminology you prefer. Yeah. So we've got a structure to do that. So far, so good. So we've got our benches, our 3, our 7 and our 12. We've got our mountains, our places of authority, which are like our cabinet ministries. And we've got our shalom ministries, which is a bit like the civil service, where we're out working the functions of the government that we've got in place. Yeah? And we've got a blueprint. So we have a plan. Yeah. And our administrations and functions operate. So we've got the charities, we've got the things in place, and there are more to do, and we know there's more to do. And those will be the earthly representations and the things that people will see when they come into contact with us in person. So, being governmental as benches. So when you're meeting as a bench of 3, or 2, depending how many you've got, but 3 it should be, you need to understand the mandate of your bench and your mountain. So what authority does it have? What does it carry? What does it cover? What is the extent and the boundaries or the bounds of that authority? But what's its context? How does that fit into the big picture? Does it fit into the Joshua generation and the equipping? Does it fit into the city of refuge? Is it both? Yeah. What's its specific function? What was your mountain created to do? Why was it called into being? What is unique and specific about it? But also, what are the touch points? So what are the common areas that are shared with other mountains? Remember that picture? It's a bit small. It's on Slack. Okay. That's the Seed of Life diagram. If you look at it and you study it, you can see that every bubble touches every other bubble. And every bubble touches every bubble right at the center point of that flower. So they overlap on specific touch points, maybe once, and then maybe twice in other places, but they all overlap, absolutely, they all touch in the middle. So every one is related to every one. But there's also areas of each one of those bubbles that touch nothing. So those are the discrete areas, those are the pieces which are specifically the uniqueness of that mountain, of that area. But there will be places where they touch other things. Yeah, it's like on that diagram, media touches good news, it touches blessing, it touches harmony. How does it touch? How does it work? How does it interrelate? Why are there those touch points? What do you need to do where those touch points occur? If we look at some of the diagrams for the mountains that we have, we've all got sub-mountains, yes? Some people have sub-mountains that are called the same thing as other mountains sub-mountains are called, yes? So those are common areas then, those are touch points. Those are places that we should be looking at, well, what does my mountain bring, what does that mountain bring to this particular area? So we can start to understand how things relate, yeah? Because that's one of the other fundamental things, isn't it? God's teaching us to do things in relationship. So, from those bubbles, you can see what area, what people or things you have authority over, but also what you don't have authority over. So you can know what areas you are free to act in. You can also look at the administration of your bench of your mountain. And think about the resources that you've got to deliver the mandate that it carries. So, earthly resources. What people have you got? What people could you call in? What things have you got to use? What tools have you got? What heavenly resources do you have? What angels are assigned to your mountain? Do you talk to them? Do you know their names? Do you know what they're for? Do you know how to engage with them? Do you know how to assign them? What laws have you got that are either collectively available or specifically available? Yeah. And what weapons have you been given when you enter the heavenlies? Dave's got hammer. I've got swords. Other people have got other things. What are they for? How do they work? What are you supposed to do with it? And then there's the coming together and remembering we are one body. And that whatever you do is likely to have an impact somewhere else. And we have this little law that's not yet written, but seems to pop up regularly, called the law of unintended consequences, where if we're not aware of where those touch points are, where those issues could be, where those things overlap, there can quite often be unforeseen and unintended consequences of our actions. So we have to be a bit wise about what we do and remember that everything in the heavens will have an impact on the earth one way or another, whether it's positive or negative. And then, of course, remember, as a bench, you have accountability to each other, but also to the 12. The 12 is like our cabinet office. So it's the main discussion point, the collection point of all the operations of our ministries and our mountains. So, one of the things I was particularly asked about was authority, function, and jurisdiction. So, let's have a little exercise here. Ministry of Justice and Ministry of Education, two of the main departments of the Cabinet. So the Ministry of Justice has identified children of troubled families have a higher than average risk of turning to crime. They believe interventions in primary schools would be effective in reducing risk of future offending. They want to run restorative justice education programs in primary schools to reduce future crime. So, do they have a mandate? It's not a trick. Do they have a mandate? Some say yes, some say no. Well, let's look at it. Do they have a mandate to run restorative justice programs? Yes, they do. Do they have a mandate to work with families who may be at risk of turning to crime? Yes, they do. Do they have a mandate to go into schools and do what they like? No, they don't. Okay. But do they have a function? Yes, they have a function. Their job is to run the Ministry of Justice, to do all the programs and keep all the things that keep the country safe, and that includes reducing crime. So they have a function to run restorative justice programs, don't they? Yes. But do they have jurisdiction? No.
Yes and no.
Tricky one, isn't it? Yes and no. Yes, in that they have a responsibility to reduce crime, and they have a responsibility to reduce crime across the country. So, yes. But in this case, there's another ministry that has a more direct authority and jurisdiction over the children and the schools, which is the Education Ministry. So, no, they can't go into schools and do that. However, if they wanted to, what should they do? Work with education. Yes. Come up with something that would work in schools that would meet the needs of all parties. Yes. So, that's being governmental as a bench, being governmental in responsibility as a mountain. But what about individually? Remember, when you are operating governmentally, it's not about acting, it's about being. Okay? So if we are governmental, rather than we do governmental, we should be representing and carrying government as part of who we are and how we operate. So we're ambassadors of the kingdom. Yep. We should be aware of the big picture and carry the blueprint. Yes. And we remember that government is to serve, not to be served. So we have to have humility in what we're doing and actually look to release others. So we have to be able to implement and outwork heaven to earth. Remember that we've got to be in relationship. So the people part doesn't disappear when you're in government. In fact, it becomes more important when you're in government. Because we're not in a position now that just because we're governmental that we can do things too. We can't intervene, we can't subvert personal choice, we can't impose, we can't pray over or intercede. We have to work with, we have to get agreement, we have to get unity and harmony. Yeah. And we have to remember that what we're doing is releasing others to their destiny. But we have certain rights and privileges that come with being in government. God has given us the right to have access to heaven. So we can see stuff. He can reveal stuff. We can operate in the heavenlies. He's given us access to his courts. So that means that we can hear accusations. We can find out what's going on. Because we're now part of the family. But that carries with it a weight of responsibility. Okay. Because we need to also operate discernment and wisdom. Just because you can see it doesn't mean you should do it. Because Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Because you have access to heaven and you have access to courts means you may be able to see things. You may be able to be aware of stuff. But the question is, just because you can see it, does it mean you should do it? So Jesus could know everything. He had access to everything. But he only did what he saw the Father doing. And he only found that out by being in communion with God. So, round it up. Government. It's God's idea, not ours. And it is supposed to be good for all people. We, as a church, are being mandated to bring government for a particular purpose. That's our blueprint. And the structure we have defines the model that we need to operate in. We've done a lot of work on that. Mike's brought lots of teaching on that. But we need to understand our authority, our function, and our jurisdiction in order to operate appropriately. And we need to be governmental as individuals. And I think that's probably enough for us to understand we're going to be bringing heaven to earth.